From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few moments, you'll hear a message from the Word of God brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns concludes part two of a two-part message on the theme, Christ the Friend of Sinners, based on the accounts in Luke chapter 15. In examining the parables found in the passage, Dr. Cairns has shown that the Lord Jesus loves every kind of sinner, that he places a high value on a single human soul, that he actively pursues sinners to bring them to salvation. As we'll see today, Christ does all of this because of his gracious purpose to do his Father's will. First, today's hot topic, an official says the Church of England would collapse without gay clergy.
The ordination of openly avowed and practicing homosexual Gene Robinson as Bishop of New Hampshire split the worldwide Anglican communion wide open. Where all the turmoil and talk of separate communions will ultimately lead is difficult to say. Meanwhile, the homosexual Bishop of New Hampshire has been on a visit to England and has been stoking the flames of controversy. Robinson, who was once married and is divorced and is living with his homosexual partner, said that he found it mystifying that the mother church of the Anglican Communion, the Church of England, was unable to be honest about the number of gay clergy in its ranks. He said that many of the English church's clergy lived openly in their rectories with gay partners, with the full knowledge of their bishops. But he criticized the stance of bishops who threatened the clergy with enmity should their relationships become public. Speaking in an interview in London, Robinson said, I have met so many gay partnered clergy here, and it's so troubling to hear them tell me that their bishop comes to their house for dinner, knows fully about their relationship, is wonderfully supportive, but has also said, if this ever becomes public, then I'm your worst enemy. It's a terrible way to live your life, and I think it's a terrible way to be a church. I think integrity is so important. What does it mean for a clergy person to be in a pulpit calling the parishioners to live a life of integrity when they can't even live a life of integrity with their own bishop and their own church? So I would feel better about the Church of England's stance, its reluctance to support the Episcopal Church in what it has done, if it would at least admit that this is not just an American challenge. If all the gay people stayed away from church on a given Sunday, the Church of England would be close to shut down. Between its organists, its clergy, its wardens, it just seems less than humble not to admit that. Close Robinson's quote. Bishop Robinson's sanctimonious rantings are enough to make you sick. Here's a man who vowed at marriage to live with one woman until death. Yet he divorced and has started living in a perverted relationship with a man. And he has the gall to talk about integrity? However, he may well be right in something else. When he said, if you took the sodomite element out of the Church of England, or even the Episcopal Church, they may collapse. He could be right there. And if he is right, then I say the sooner they collapse, the better. For you can be sure that no church has any claim to be recognized as Christian if it is sustained in being by the number of practicing sodomites in its ranks. God has placed such perversion, therefore the institutions that are sustained by it, under his anathema. He says he has given them up to judgment. It's time that all true Christians who remain in such divinely rejected communions gave them up too. How can any Bible believer continue to worship in and support a denomination that depends for its existence on holding on to the vast number of sexual perverts who have gained access to its membership and ministry? Homosexuality is, by the plain standards of Scripture, unclean. Yet it fills and is welcomed in many churches. By contrast, the Bible says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Ephesians 5, verse 11. This is God's command and the duty of every Christian. No more prevaricating. It is time to obey God. Time to get out.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean very much to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. Recently, in their publication, Major Report, the American Council of Christian Churches evaluated the U.S. Faith and Order Commission 50th anniversary event of the National Council of Churches held at Oberlin College in Ohio in July of last year. For an informative look at how far the ecumenical apostasy of our day is willing to go in disregarding the authority of the Holy Scripture, you need to read this newsletter. A free copy is yours simply by requesting it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
For a minute, think that you can make the sovereignty of God an excuse for remaining in sin. For it's your responsibility to repent and believe the gospel. In Spurgeon's day, there was a great battle about what was called duty faith. In other words, do sinners have a duty to repent and to believe the gospel? Do preachers have a duty to tell them it's your duty to repent? Believe the gospel. A lot of the very strict Baptists castigated Spurgeon and said it's not the duty of sinners to repent. They're dead. They cannot repent. They cannot believe. It's not their duty. What absolute crass ignorance. Can those sinners obey the law? And yet these very same preachers were always for preaching the law to sinners. Can they obey the law? Can they love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? No, they can't. They're dead. But nonetheless, it's their duty to obey the law. Similarly with the gospel.
It is their duty to believe the gospel. And Spurgeon had a wonderful way of dealing with those strict Baptist brethren. He just took them to the words of Christ regarding the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he said, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. What is the sin of which he convicts the world? He convicts the world of sin because they believe not. Now, nothing can be clearer. If the Holy Spirit is convicting people because they don't believe, it is because they ought to believe. Is it not something you ought to believe, that Christ died for the ungodly? Is it not something you ought to do, what this fellow in the third parable did? Come and say, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm pleading for mercy. I'm pleading for grace. If you don't enjoy the feast, it's by your own choice and it's your own fault. And you alone are to blame for your fate of eternal doom. Time is gone. I will but mention the last thing the Lord Jesus shows us. And that's the gracious purpose for which he labored. He speaks of heaven rejoicing at what? At the success of his work in finding sinners. I love that picture. You know, heaven's going to be full. I don't want you to think that heaven is going to be a place that's underpopulated. They're coming out at the corners in hell. It's so full, but heaven is underpopulated. Don't you believe it? The Lord Jesus is bringing his people home to glory, and heaven is rejoicing at the success of his work. Men criticized him and they finally murdered him, but he never lost sight of that eternal dimension. All through his life, he kept that eternal dimension in view. He worked with heaven's, that is, with his Father's purpose and praise ever in his mind. So that whatever men did, whatever they thought, he came to do his Father's will. Thank God that was a saving will. I want you to think of this. For here we can emulate the Savior to some degree. He got his eye on the well done of the Father. And with that in mind, he could endure anything. Listen carefully. Hebrews 12, verse 2. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Let that sink in. You see, Christ stretched out on the cross. The pain of body was terrible. The pain of soul was infinitely worse. And as he was stretched out on the cross, he endured it. Because, listen, there was a joy that was set before him. Rejoice with me. I have found my sheep which was lost. He could already hear the well done of the Father. He could already hear the songs of glory. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. And he is set down in the right hand of the throne of God. Now let me ask you, with such a Christ, why would you as a sinner ever fear to draw near to him? The publicans and sinners were drawing near to Christ. Why would you ever fear? Well, I'm a sinner. So were they. Why fear? He says, come unto me, and I will never cast you out. And if you have come and you've been welcomed into the embrace of such a Savior, let me ask you, why would you ever despair of any soul? We give people up, I think, too easily. There are parents here still praying for their children. You'd hope to see them saved when they were 5 or 6 or 8 or 10. They've maybe reached 15 or 20 or 30, maybe 40, and they're still not saved. Remember that the greatest prayer warrior in England was George Mueller, as far as we know. Mueller could pray and see people saved and miracles done. And yet, in the case of his very best friends, he prayed for 50 and 60 years before they were saved. Did he give up? No. Did he conclude that God had given them up? No. Did he say they're not worth it? No. Don't give up. Knowing anything of the love of Christ for you and for me, we should be the last people on earth to despair of any soul. If he can love me and save me, he can love anybody and save them. And if we have known this love, why should we feel to live our lives in the same kind of service to the lost as our Master lived his? If the Son of God could find, and I say that very reverently, could find no more noble work in all the world than the work of saving publicans and sinners and self-righteous Pharisees and transforming them all into saints of God, if he could find no more noble work than to seek and to save the lost, can we say we're too busy? We have better things to do. We have more important issues at stake. I dare say there's not a Christian here who would actually say those words. And yet when it comes to praying for the lost, where are you? When the church gathers for prayer and you're sitting stuck in front of a television, what are you telling God? What do you think the devil's taken out of it? When you go from one year's end to the next and you never tell anybody of Christ, you never invite a sinner under the sound of the gospel, you make no effort. Not talking about success, that's in God's hand, but no effort to do anything to bring any soul to Christ. How can we do that? How can we do that? Jesus Christ is the friend of sinners. He warns them. He weeps over them. And he welcomes them home. Thank God he does. Oh, may he give us who know him a heart to be like him. Let me warn them. Let me weep o'er the erring one and lift up the fallen. And tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Let me welcome the lost to Christ. May God take his word and apply it to our hearts. And as you leave this house today, I want you to go out with a sight of the friend of sinners. And if you're a sinner, let that sight enrapture your soul until you come on bended knee to Christ. You'll find a welcome. And if you're a saint, oh, get before the Savior and say, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Now take me and make me more like the Master in word and thought and deed, more like the Master as the friend of sinners. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us all seek the Lord's face in a closing word of prayer. a moment the meeting will be over. I plead with you, if you're not saved, to make haste to Christ. Thank God there's a fold for every wandering sheep. There are shoulders to carry you all the way to glory. Thank God there's a watching, welcoming Savior waiting for you. Understand me. There is no possibility. No possibility of a penitent sinner ever being turned away by the Lord Jesus. If I can help you to Christ, I invite you to remain, let the others leave, and I'll be glad to open the book of God and point you toward the Savior.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.